From KUOW, I'm Steve Scherr.
We got a guitar solo coming up you're not going to believe. You know, the mayor's Income Inequality Advisory Committee is out with their proposal to hike the minimum wage to $15 an hour. Now, it's not law yet. The city council has to approve it. And meanwhile, there are also signature gatherers out there. You might talk to one. They have a competing proposal to get $15 in 2015, at least for big businesses. That's why they call it 15 now. Well, we've been hearing a lot of opinion on this idea, on these ideas from Seattle's leaders and citizens. And today we're going to zoom out to see what a prominent liberal economist who supports reducing income inequality thinks about this idea.
Jared Bernstein is a senior fellow at the Center on Budget and Policy Priorities. Before that, he served as an economist in the Obama administration. He spoke with David Hyde about rising income inequality and about who wins and who loses if the $15 an hour minimum wage proposal moves forward in Seattle.
Certainly, business owners facing higher labor costs will face some lower profitability. Some of this, a very small amount, gets passed on to prices. Some of it is absorbed in higher productivity rates, that is, less turnover, fewer vacancies. So that's helpful as well. But bottom line, the biggest winners would be the folks whose paychecks are going to get a boost from this.
Some business owners are saying that the biggest issue that they want the city council to reconsider when they look at this proposal and potentially modify it is tips. Currently, tips would not count as wages after a phase-in period. They're concerned about that. Let's say you own a restaurant and your wait staff is currently earning $40 an hour. They're saying that's not what this is about. What do you think about tips and wages?
When it comes to the federal minimum wage, we're talking federal now, not Seattle, but the federal minimum wage, there is a special very low wage called the tipped minimum, which is somewhere in the range of $2.25 or something like that. It's really low.
Right. In Seattle, they make $9.32. That's the current minimum for waitstaff.
Right. So my first point is that when you hear this discussion in the national debate, it's actually very important to bring those tipped workers up. In the Seattle case, as you mentioned, there's already provisions that help those folks. The employers have an argument. The devil's in the details there, because one of the things that you worry about is that if the tips don't bring the wage up to 15, don't bring it up to the new minimum, it's quite rarely enforced that the employers will make up the difference. So I must say I do like the simplicity of everybody having the same minimum, but I certainly understand the employer's argument.
The other issue that some employers are raising is something called wage compression. So they're not so concerned about getting everybody up to 15, especially after the phase-in period, but they're a little bit concerned about, gee, what's going to happen to all the other folks that are currently earning $15, $16 an hour? Aren't they going to want to raise?
Right. There tend to be precisely those kinds of spillover raises when we see this kind of increase. So I understand their concern. I do think, interestingly, that in an economy where wages have been extremely unequal, so that the gap between the bottom, the middle, and the top has gotten wider and wider, some degree of wage compression is actually desirable. Now, when you raise someone from, say, $9.50 to 15, that doesn't mean that you're going to give a $5+ raise to the person who's at 16, but you might give them a little bit more. So there is some spillover, but it's not one for one.
Sort of lurking in the background of this debate here in Seattle, of course, is the issue you bring up, which is rising economic inequality overall, kind of nationwide or really globally is the conversation these days. Is raising the minimum wage the best way to tackle the problem?
There is no silver bullet. For better or worse, the solutions to this inequality problem have to be divided up. And certainly one of the best ways to lift the wages very directly, very effectively, and actually pretty efficiently for those at the bottom of the scale is through higher minimum wages. It won't solve the problem, of course, but neither will any other single move.
The other concern that I see from folks outside Seattle who are sympathetic to this overall and sympathetic to what you're saying is, if this doesn't work, if there are negative consequences for the city of Seattle, that could have a ripple effect nationwide. Similarly, if it does work, there's going to be pressure on other cities to raise their minimums. What do you think about that?
I think that's a very reasonable argument. The way this has worked in kind of the political economies of both the nation, states, and localities is very much in the spirit of that critique. Folks advocate for higher minimum wages for all the reasons we've been discussing, particularly the low bargaining power of low-wage workers, inequality pushing down their earnings, their declining living standards, the fact that many of them are adults with kids. And then you have this dueling advocates on one side and opponents on the other duel and hopefully duel over the evidence as opposed to just making stuff up. So the evidence that we get from this will be important. And if we find out that things worked out badly, that's something that we're all going to have to very much incorporate into our thinking. What I don't like and what I object to is people assuming that because the Seattle example is kind of out of sample, it's going further than we have before, it's automatically going to be a huge bust. I don't think that that is justified analytically at all, and we're going to have to see what happens.
What is justified? I've spoken to some economists at the UW who are actually commissioned to do this study, and they say, geez, you know, we don't have the evidence on this one. It's hard to know exactly what's going to happen here. What's your sense of what the city should do facing that uncertainty?
You know, I wrote about this the other day, and I quoted, of all people, FDR, Roosevelt, who said back in 1932 something the effect of, I'm really paraphrasing here because I don't remember exactly what he said, but I'll give you the spirit of it. We've got a really big national economic problem now, and we need to try some new things. If they work, great. If they don't, we'll try something else. I like that way of thinking about it.
Last question. There's another proposal that's out there in the city, a $15 an hour now movement is here. It's led by our newly elected socialist city council member, Kashama Sawant. She thinks big businesses at least should be able to get to $15 an hour by 2015. Small businesses and nonprofits would have a few more years to phase in. But what do you think about the phase in? What do you think about that proposal?
There are, to my understanding, about nine localities or cities throughout the country that have minimum wage laws. Most of them have actually phased them in quite differently. In some cases, for example, in San Jose, according to some recent work by economist Michael Reich at Berkeley and some colleagues, in 2013, they raised it in one step from $8 an hour to $10 an hour. In San Francisco, they went from $6.75 to $8.50 an hour back in 2004, but certain businesses, nonprofits, and very small businesses had a delay. I think as an economist, some degree of phasing in makes sense, but I certainly understand the urgencies of folk who want to see paychecks rising quickly. I think that both sides have a point when the advocates say this is urgent, we want it now, and the opponents say phase it in for to give us a chance to adapt. They have a point, too. So they need to compromise and agree to a phase in that's probably shorter than the longest one the advocates want, but longer than tomorrow.
Economist Jared Bernstein on KUOW's proposed minimum wage increase. He's with the Center on Budget and Policy Priorities in the other Washington. And before that, he was an economist in the Obama administration. He spoke to KUOW's David Hyde. This is The Record.